All right, open your Bibles tonight, please, to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, Luke. All right, let's look at our Bible tonight now, if you will. And I want to read beginning in verse 40. All right, now, notice, if you will, in the first part of this chapter, we have the birth of our Lord. All right, and then in the middle part of this chapter, we have the account of Simeon and Anna, where the Lord was brought to the temple for dedication. And then, if you will look at verse 40, it says we have Anna's song and prophecy. In the middle part, we get down to verse 40. It says, "And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him." Now, I'm going to stop right there and go ahead and tell you this. What I'm about to read now in verse 41 to 52 is an illustration of the statement that was just made in verse 40. All right? Let me say that again. Verse 41 to the end of the chapter, verse 52, is an illustration of the statement that was just made in verse 40. Now let's read verse 40 again. "And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him." Now, here's the example of verse 40. Here's the illustration. Here's the proof of verse 40. Now, his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. Now, I want you to put a little mark or a little underline underneath the word "after the custom." And I'll go ahead and tell you that they took him with him on this year when he was 12 for his bar mitzvah. This was his bar mitzvah. I'll explain all that to you in a little bit. All right? And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. All 12-year-old boys are bar mitzvahed. That's the big deal. All right? Verse 43. "And when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinfolks and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors." Now, these aren't medical doctors. These are lawyers. These are the doctors of the law, the PhDs. All right? That doesn't stand for post hole digger. Okay? These are the know-it-alls, the smart guys. "Both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him," speaking of Joseph and Mary, "when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, 'Son, why hast thou dealt with us? Why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing.' And he said unto them, 'How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business?' And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. But he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them, But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. I want to speak to you tonight, a message that I'm going to entitle The Boyhood of Christ. The Boyhood of Christ. I want you to listen very carefully tonight. I'm really going to teach you some things tonight as opposed to preaching a message. But I have to do some teaching in order for you to see the point. And probably when I get to the point, I'm going to do some serious preaching. But it's going to take me a few minutes to get to the point. But this story is in our Bible for a reason. And I want to try and convey that reason to you tonight. Let's pray together and ask the Lord to help us, and then the message. Let's pray together. Our Father, thank you so much for the cross. And Lord, thank you for loving us unworthy as we are. And Lord, I pray that you will bless now as we look at this passage of Scripture. Help me to make much of Jesus tonight. And Lord, enable me to say what I need to say. We all need to see the Lord tonight. And so, Father, I pray that the Holy Spirit will take control of the service now and just open our hearts that we'll be just available to hear what the Spirit has to say. And Father, we certainly appreciate all of your blessing and all the wonderful things in this Bible. And I pray that the Bible will just come alive to us tonight and we'll see these things in a different light. And so bless us now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We really do not know much about the life of the Lord Jesus prior to him entering into the ministry at age 30. We do know that Joseph and Mary, at the bidding of the Holy Spirit, whisked him away to Egypt to live for a few years until Herod the Great died. You remember Herod got angry when the wise men went back a different way and didn't come report where they had found the Lord Jesus. And so what we see Herod doing is sending his troops into Bethlehem to kill all the babies. Well, Herod was bent on killing the Lord Jesus. So the Holy Spirit sent them down to Egypt. Now, it doesn't go into detail about that. We just know that it happened. How long he was there and when he came back, we don't know. The Holy Spirit didn't tell us. And we know then the events of our text, how when he was 12 years old, he came to Jerusalem for the Passover and was left in Jerusalem when the family went on back to Nazareth. We know that. And if you remember, and let me say, that's all we know. The next thing we hear about Jesus is his entering into the ministry. So you've got really a 30-year period there where all you have is just a little snippet about a few years when he was a baby, and then one little story about when he was 12 years old that only took a couple covered a couple of days of his life. And that's it. We don't have any other details about the boyhood of our Savior. Now, if you remember, I told you a few years ago when we were studying the subject of the inspiration of the Bible that there are a number of other Gospels, and I put those in quotation marks. There are a number of other Gospels that have been uncovered and have been in the care of the church, the Catholic Church mainly. But there are four Gospels that are in our Bible. These four are the only ones that are inspired. There's a bunch of other gospels. And several of these other gospels have been studied. And they were, of course, rejected for various reasons and not included in the scripture. And these in these false gospels are story after story about the Lord Jesus when he was a child and when he was a teenager and when he was a young man in his 20s before he entered into the ministry. They did not make the canon of Scripture in order to be included in our Bible. But just about all of them have these accounts of different things that happened when the Lord was a boy. They tell, for example, of Jesus playing on the mountainsides, on the hillsides with the other boys of Nazareth and making little birds out of clay and then miraculously turning them into real birds to fly away. You say, well, that's kind of ridiculous. I know it is. That's why it wasn't included in the scripture. They tell of Joseph making a plow. You remember he was a carpenter. And when the Bible says he was a carpenter, it does not mean that he did remodeling jobs on people's houses or that he built new homes to go in a certain suburb of Jerusalem. That's not what it means. It means a carpenter in Bible times was somebody who made a chair or somebody, a man who made a table or made bowls or made plates. He made plows for farmers to use in their fields. And one of these, or several of these gospels tell the story of Joseph making a plow. And when he got it finished, it was not perfect. So the young Jesus placed his hand on the plow and it instantly was made perfect. Kind of silly, don't you think? I don't think it has anything really to do with the nature and the person that we know from our four gospels is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in our Gospels, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, there is no mention of any of these things at all. As a matter of fact, there is no mention of the Lord Jesus performing any miracles as a boy or as a teenager or while he was in his 20s. I remind you that John chapter 2 records for us what John says was the beginning of miracles. And that was at the beginning of his earthly ministry when at 30 years of age, he went with his disciples to Canaan and Mary, his mother, pushed him into beginning his earthly ministry. And John made it a special point to say to us, this beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee. Now, verse 40 is important in our text. And let me read it again. Listen carefully to what Luke says. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now, starting in verse 41 and going through verse 52, we have an example that shows us what Luke said about him in verse 40. This is an example. This is explaining to you how he waxed strong in spirit, how he was filled with wisdom, and how the grace of God was upon him. You see, just because the true Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, say nothing by way of the miraculous that was done by the young Jesus, that does not mean that those 30 years were unprofitable or even uneventful. The years of his youth, learning a trade, traipsing along the hilltops and the ridges of the hills of Galilee, no doubt prepared him for this great ministry that we have recorded for us in the four Gospels. Now, Out of these 30 almost completely silent years, there is one incident that is recorded for us with a loud voice. And it is the story that I just read for you out of Luke, the last part of Luke chapter 2. It is the story of Joseph and Mary accidentally leaving him behind in Jerusalem when he was 12 years of age, and then coming back to Jerusalem to find him and not being able to find him, but then finally finding him in the temple, questioning and answering questions by the doctors and lawyers and scribes of the day. Now, question. Why do you think this story was preserved for us by the Holy Spirit and placed in the Bible? Why, out of 30 years of his life, do we just have this one account of his life under 30? Why is it that out of 30 years, this event was singled out and placed in the scripture for our reading? There surely must be some things that we can realize from this story that shed light upon him as our Savior, and some things that can that we can apply and learn from that will help us in understanding who our Savior really is. And I think there are a couple of things that we can glean from this, and I want to call them to your attention. Why, out of 30 years of history, out of 30 years of his life, is this story included here? Number one, I want you to understand first that from this story, we can realize what an influence this trip would have had upon him as a 12-year-old boy. Now, I want you to think about that. I want you to think about the influence that a trip like this to Jerusalem, this is his first trip to Jerusalem. It was a trip to Jerusalem with mom and dad. And it is, I want you to realize the influence that this trip would have had upon him as a 12-year-old boy. Do you remember the first time you saw the ocean? I remember that. I remember getting in the car and driving through the mountains. This was long before there were interstates. This was before any interstate went through West Virginia. And if you went to Virginia Beach from where we lived in Charleston, you had to go through the heart of the Appalachian Mountains. And I had never been out of the Appalachian Mountains. And I remember getting, my brother and I both got so car sick. I can remember my dad stopping and us bailing out, one on one side of the road and one on the other. I'm telling you, it was awful, just like this the whole way. We left when it was still dark early in the morning. And we got into the heart of those mountains on Route 60 when it was when the sun had come up. And we were just absolutely, both of us, so car sick that I didn't think we were going to make it. And finally, we got through the mountains, and I remember seeing the flat land of just the rolling countryside of Virginia and asking my mother, "Mom, where did the mountains go? I just thought there were mountains everywhere. That's all I knew anything about." And my mother said, "Oh, honey, you're not in West Virginia anymore. You're in Virginia, and they don't have those big mountains here like they do at home." And then I remember seeing the, finally making it to the ocean. And I remember standing on the shore and looking out at the horizon and seeing the fishing boats and the ships sailing out of Norfolk. And it was an exciting time for me because I had never seen anything like that before. And I'm sure the Lord Jesus was just as excited when he went to Jerusalem for the first time. It was about, it would have been about an 80-mile trip from Nazareth in Galilee down to Jerusalem in Judah. It would have probably taken a few days to make such a trip because, as you can see from verse 44, they did not travel alone. It was not, let's see how fast we can get there. No, it was, you had a group, you had a company, as the Bible says, who went together mainly for safety purposes. And so you can imagine the excitement of a 12-year-old boy along the way. Because from Nazareth to Jerusalem, almost every mile was rich in Bible history. He passed Shunem, where the widow woman's son was raised from the dead. They passed Mount Gilboa, where King Saul died on its bald crest. They then would pass through Bethel with all the history that evolved around that wonderful spot of the middle of the country. And then finally, his eyes would fall upon the walls and upon the towers of Jerusalem. And this trip would have added to the point that Luke was making in verse 40. The child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. You see, folks, all the things that you and I experience as we grow and as we go through life, all of these things add to the person that we are. They increase our knowledge. They give us a better understanding. They enable us to have a better view of our world around us. And so, for 12 years, all that he had ever heard about Jerusalem was what he was told from the lips of Joseph and Mary, who made the trip every year. Every year they went down. That's what we're told in verse 41. Every year they went down to the Feast of the Passover. It's what all good Jews did. But they didn't haul their kids with them every time. They left the kids back in someone's care, and then they went down to worship God. They probably didn't stay quite as long as what they would have stayed this time, but they went down and they worshiped God. But on this day, they took the Lord, who was, don't forget, the firstborn of the family, and he was 12 years of age. So all that Jesus had ever heard about Jerusalem was what he was told from Joseph and Mary from their previous trips. And I'm sure that every conversation he had with them about Jerusalem thrilled his heart. Now, you remember, back in those days, they didn't have primetime television. Joseph and Mary did not take Jesus and plop him down in front of a TV and say, "There, son, entertain yourself for till it's bedtime." No, back in those days, families did something that is very strange to us in our world today. They talked to one another. And all they had to talk about was the events of the day and the future, what they were going to do. And the fathers would tell the sons about their experiences and teach them about life. But now he is experiencing it for himself. So this is one reason why the Holy Spirit preserved this incident for us and put it in the scripture. The statement is made in verse 40 that Jesus grew, and a momentous trip like going to Jerusalem for the Passover would have been a life experience that would bring about that growth. With the growing crowds that joined the group, with each village they passed, with the ever-changing scenery that they experienced, with the added excitement of getting closer and closer with the passing of each hour, our Lord was adding to his growth and adding to his wisdom. And so Luke gives us the story to illustrate the point that he stated in verse 40 when he said that he grew. There's a second reason why this is here in the Bible. First of all, not only for us to realize the influence that this trip would have had upon him, but secondly, we see the character of Jesus revealed. The character of our Lord is revealed in this passage. Now, I want you to think about it. You can just imagine a 12-year-old boy coming in to the city and what was going through his mind. Can you imagine the thrill? I remember the first time I went to Jerusalem. Man, I was thrilled out of my head. I mean, I was just so ecstatic, I couldn't hardly stand it. Can you imagine a 12-year-old boy coming into the city? I mean, it was Passover time, and everybody was there. The Temple Mount was just packed with visitors. Vendors lined the streets, and Jesus saw things that he had never seen before in that little old town of Nazareth that he grew up in. And don't forget, Rome occupied Israel at that time. And so you can imagine a 12-year-old boy staring at Roman soldiers as they parade by and march by with their swords and their armor-plated vests and their shiny brass helmets as they march lockstep through the street. My, there's not a 12-year-old boy anywhere that wouldn't be thrilled looking at that. And yet, we don't find the 12-year-old Jesus looking for trouble. We find him in the temple. I mean, Joseph and Mary, they go ahead and go through all the things that they came to do, and then they all head back home. They thought he was with them. He wasn't with them. They come running back a day's journey. I mean, they went a day away. Then they had to come another day back. And on the third day, they didn't find him in trouble. They found him in the temple. That speaks volumes, folks. Listen, don't give yourself away here, but could you imagine yourself in that city without mom and dad watching you? Where would you have been? What would you have been doing? But not Jesus. He was in the temple. We don't find the 12-year-old Jesus looking for trouble. We find him in the temple. What an exquisite glimpse is this of the character that our Savior possessed. Folks, think about it. He heard the trumpets playing their music. He saw the other children playing games while their parents sat to talk. Yet none of that interested him. When Joseph and Mary came back to the city to try and find him, they couldn't find him anywhere, probably because they were looking for him in these other places. 12-year-old boys will be 12-year-old boys. But they didn't find him where normal 12-year-old boys would have been. Instead, they found him in the temple. As a 12-year-old boy, he was in that temple trying to convince these scholars to see the truth. I only wish that Dr. Luke had given us some details of the questions that they were asking him and that he was answering, and some of the questions that he was asking of them. I mean, I can see the looks on the faces of those old self-righteous scholars as he listened to them and then asked them questions which caused them to question him. I would have loved to have known what the discussion was about. And we are told that he astounded them with his understanding and with his answers. And then I started to think of something else. I started just wondering to myself, could there have been any other kids whose parents went on and stayed behind? Could there have been any others? I don't know. The Bible does not tell us that there were or that this sort of thing happened to anyone else. But if it did happen, where do you think these kids were found? I can see some frantic mother and father rushing into the city looking for their little darling. And one was found among the soldiers who was entertainment for the soldiers as they put a sword in his hand that he could not even lift up. I could see the soldiers all laughing as they took a helmet and put it on his head that almost tipped him over. And the mother would have been terrified to walk down a street and see her son being used as a clown for the soldiers. Another would find her son in the bazaars, touching all the candy and all the baked goods like he had never seen anything like that before, but not Jesus. Mary and Joseph found Jesus in the temple. Is it not a priceless glimpse into the person of our Savior and the character that he showed? I mean, isn't it just a priceless glimpse of the consuming passion that our Savior had for the things of God? Oh, that we would raise a generation of young people today whose only concern is to know the things of God. But then lastly, and here's where I draw it all together, listen carefully. Lastly, we see the dawning of our Lord's ministry to mankind. Or I guess I should say his mission to mankind. We see in this passage the dawning of our Lord's mission to mankind. Now let me explain to you what I mean. You see, folks, the age of 12 is an important age for a Jewish boy. On the last trip that we took to Israel, we had to get a rabbi from over in Israel because the Egeloffs wanted to have, because Steve is Jewish, Steve Egeloff is Jewish, and they're not here tonight. But Steve wanted to have a bar mitzvah for Jacob, their son. Now, Jacob is now like 17 years old, but because they live here now and they don't go to synagogue anymore, it's every Jew's dream to have their bar mitzvah in Jerusalem. So we had a bar mitzvah service. It is a very important thing for Jewish folks to do. Now, what's it all about? The bar mitzvah. What's it all about? Well, at the age of 12, a father would take his son to the temple for this special service. It was the age where a father proclaimed his boy to be a man. All right? He takes his son and he stands him in front of all the family and all the friends, and he declares on this day that his 12-year-old is no longer a boy. My son is now a man. Now, he's 12 years old. But ceremonially, he is at that moment viewed and declared and seen as a man. In Jewish lore, they say that at the age of 12, Moses left the house of Pharaoh's daughter. They say that at the age of 12, Samuel was called by God to be a prophet in Eli's house. They say that at 12, King Josiah, with a heart for God, commanded the reforms to happen in Judah. But more importantly, now listen very carefully to this. More importantly, at age 12, a Jewish boy begins the work that his father does for a living. At the age of 12, that's when the son starts to learn the father's business. Now, Joseph is a what? Carpenter, very well. And so this is a big deal. This is a big deal, folks. This is important. The apprenticeship, the schooling, if you will, The trade school begins at age 12. The apprenticeship begins at age 12. A Jewish boy at his bar mitzvah starts to work alongside his father. His father will, at the age of 12, begin to teach his son how to carry on the family business. Now, I want you to picture in your mind Joseph, Jesus, and Mary leaving Nazareth on the journey down to Jerusalem. They're going down for the purpose of the bar mitzvah. Joseph is excited about it. He has watched as other dads in the community have had a bar mitzvah for their sons and then brought their sons alongside of them to work with them in their family business. And now it's Joseph's turn. Jesus is now 12. I want you to picture them as they're going to Jerusalem. And all of a sudden, Joseph starts to elbow Jesus and say, "You know, you're awful skinny. We're going to have to put some muscles on you. If we're going to fatten you up a little bit, if you're going to start working with me full time. If you're going to learn this business, boy, you're going to have to get some muscles on those arms. I mean, they're skin and bones." I can imagine that Joseph was excited and that they talked about it the whole way down. And as they got from Nazareth all the way down to Jerusalem, they were talking about how that, listen now, when we get home, things are going to be different. Oh, you've had free rein to run and play with all the boys of Nazareth, and you could, go and make your forts and play, cowboys and, well, I guess it would be Israelis and Arabs, and you can, you've had the freedom to run and play, but now, son, you're not a little boy anymore now. We're going to Jerusalem. We're going to have your bar mitzvah, and when you come back, you're going to have to start working, and you're going to have to learn the family business. And I can hear Joseph that night praying and saying, "Oh God, give me wisdom and give me strength and help me to train Jesus. Help me to train my boy to take over the family business." I can hear him stopping along the way and introducing Jesus to people that would join the caravan as they continued on and say, "This is my son, and we're going to have his bar mitzvah, and then we're going home, and he is going to learn the business." But can you imagine Joseph and Mary's surprise when on the way back home, Mary looks over and says, "Have you seen Jesus?" And Joseph said, "Well, I thought he was with you." Oh, Joseph was in so much trouble right there, wasn't he? Oh, yes, you know he got the blame for that. And they couldn't find him anywhere. And so they look all around the camp and they can't find him. So they hightail it back to Jerusalem. They get inside. And they find him in the temple. Mary comes up to him and says, "Where have you been? We have been looking all over for you. We went to the bazaars and we walked the streets of Jerusalem for hours. We went to where the soldiers were hanging out and we searched and we asked and we ran through every square inch of this city." And his answer must have just floored Joseph. When he said, "Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business?" And that was not the carpentry business, folks. No, I'm saying to you that at age 12, we see the first recorded dawning sense that he fully understood why he was here. He did not come to this earth to be a carpenter. He did not come to this earth to learn how to make a plate or to learn how to make a bowl. No, sir, my friend. He came to this earth for one reason and one reason only, and that was to go to the cross of Calvary and give his life a ransom for our souls. He was here on his father's business. He was fully conscious at age 12 that he stood apart from everybody else. He completely understood that his life was to be completely surrendered to the to absolute devotion to the one who had sent him. And I want to show you something that when I saw this, I just read it and read it and read it. Look at verse 51. This just blows my mind. I mean, this just astounds me. Look at verse 51. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. Isn't that something? I mean, did that hit you like it hit me? He knows at age 12, he turns around. Joseph, where have you, or Jesus, where have you been? You worried about me? Wished ye not, did you not know that I must be about my father's business? And so then they all go out and get in whatever they rode in and they head back to Nazareth. And from 12 years old, are you listening? From 12 years old until 30 years old, even though he knows who he is and what he's doing, he submits himself and he's obedient and he doesn't rebel and he doesn't get an attitude and he doesn't become a smart aleck and he doesn't get antsy and he doesn't sow any wild oats. And he doesn't rebel against them in any way. He went home with them and started his apprenticeship. And he learned the family business just like it was expected of him to do. And Luke adds in verse 52 that Mary, or 51, that Mary kept all these sayings in her heart. What's that tell you? It tells me that she knew he wasn't a carpenter. She knew he wasn't a carpenter. She knew who he was. She knew that when she became pregnant, she knew that she was a virgin. She knew that it was the Holy Spirit that planted the seed in her womb. She knew that. And she knew exactly who he was. And she was amazed. She was just amazed. And that's why, folks, when he got 30 and they're at the wedding feast in Canaan, Mary could turn around and look at him and say, son, they have no wine. Well, woman, what have I to do with it? Mine hour's not yet come. What do you want me to do about it? It was Mary saying, son, right now, this is a good time for you to start your ministry. Go ahead. I know that's why you came. You know that's why you came. So go ahead right now and just get started. And so he turns the water into wine and started his earthly ministry. She knew that he wasn't going to be a carpenter, but that he had come to this earth for a far greater purpose. And folks, that's why this story is here. Luke makes the point that Jesus grew, and then he tells us this story to amplify the point. And all I can do is stand here and read this and just get blessed in my heart and just hold my hand up and say, hallelujah, what a Savior.